of a long day. But somehow, there were still 2 cronuts on a tray. My body seemed to let out a breath of relief just at the thought of them, at the memory they conjured. If the memory of a conversation with Dax could relax me so much, how well would an actual conversation work? "Are you ready?" the girl asked, coming around the counter. "Yes, I'll take those 2. She bagged them up and I paid, then raced out to my car. Dax's caregiver raised his eyebrows when he opened the door.
"You're back,"
he said. "Yes, I am. I'm Autumn, by the way. I don't think I introduced myself last time."
"Hello, Autumn. I'm Mr. Peterson. I take it I'll be seeing a lot of you."
"Much to Dax's dismay, yes," I said with a smile. He smiled back and opened the door wider.
"Come in."
I silently cheered and followed after him. The house was lived in, but organized. A bench seat with hooks lined the wall to my right in the entryway, coats and hats hanging off it, shoes underneath it. I wondered how many foster kids actually lived here. I wondered if any of those things were Dax's.
"Follow me."
We passed 4 or 5 doors before coming to the one on the end. It was half open, and I could see a bunk bed on the far wall. Mr. Peterson knocked on the door. A voice that wasn't Dax's said,
"Yeah?"
Mr. Peterson pushed open the door.
"Hello, Russell,"
he said. Then,
"Dax, you have a visitor."
"Who?"
His voice sounded from a part of the room I couldn't see. Russell was staring at me with a half smile.
"Autumn,"
Mr. Peterson said. I wasn't sure if Dax made a face or something, but Russell said,
"Might not want to voice many opinions. She's standing right there."
Dax appeared around the door, again looking neither surprised nor happy to see me. His eyes went to the bag of cronuts I held, then back up to my face.
"She can stay until 8:30,
Mr. Peterson said, then walked away.
"What?"
Russell called after him.
"Why don't they have to follow the rules?"
When Mr. Peterson didn't respond, Russell got up and followed after him with loud protests. I inched my way into the room that Dax had not emerged from. It was small, just fitting the bunk bed and 2 desks. "What rules are we breaking?" I asked.
"Free time is over at 8 o'clock on school nights."
"Oh." I looked at my phone. It was 8:10. "You get a whole 20 minutes extra?"
"Yes. Apparently you've charmed Mr. Peterson."
"It wasn't hard," I said behind my hand like I was sharing a secret. "I could teach you." He smiled, and it transformed his whole face. Before Dax could question my being there, I said, "I brought you the cronut I promised. We never had them when we escaped the library."
"You didn't promise."
"Well, I told you about them, so it's only right I provide." I walked with determination to his desk. He backed up several steps so I didn't run him over. Now we both stood by his desk, and I set the bag on top of it, next to his book. "You're still reading Hamlet," I said.
"The never-ending book."
I picked it up and fanned through its pages. I've never read it. The book naturally opened to where the envelope addressed to Susanna was stuck between 2 pages. He still hadn't mailed it. I met his eyes. If I thought Dax had changed his private ways in the last week, and was now suddenly, of his own choice, going to share with me what this letter was all about, I was wrong. He nodded his head toward the bag I'd set on his desk.
"Are we actually going to eat them?"
I set the book down, opened the bag, and pulled out a cronut. There she is. Heaven. He took a step closer and my skin prickled to life.
"It doesn't look life-changing."
"Do not speak ill of the cronut until you try it." He accepted the challenge and took a bite.
"Pretty good,"
he said through his mouthful. "Pretty good? Pretty good? It's the best." I retrieved mine and ate it in 4 bites, then let out a happy sigh. "You'll never be able to eat another donut again."
"You've ruined me?"
"Yes." I watched his hands as he finished his off. "You're still wearing it," I said quietly.
"What?"
"The bracelet." That had to mean something. He really did need me as a friend in his life. I held up my wrist and freed mine from beneath my jacket. "Me too,"
I've just been too lazy to find a pair of scissors.
Right. Dax carried a knife around in his boot. I didn't believe that for a second. But I did believe that he was too proud, or private, or something, to admit he needed a friend. When I looked up, he was staring at me. I met his stare, determined not to look away. That was easier said than done. His eyes were deep brown, and so piercing, they seemed to see right through me. I was right. There was something about being around him. Someone who had seen me at my worst, that made me relax. He let out a frustrated breath.
I'm leaving in 6 months. You shouldn't come back.
I know. You don't want attachments, I said. I'd have to try something different with him if I wanted this friendship.
I don't have any. I'm worried you might.
I let out a scoffing breath. I don't have any attachments. You're just a good distraction for me. I need a distraction. This might work if I could control my facial expressions.
Distraction.
I've been at the hospital. That environment stresses me out. Sick people, the pressure to miraculously heal someone. It would be nice to have someone outside of that circle to talk to hang out with. No expectations, no pressure, zero commitment. And that was all true. Maybe that's why he seemed to believe me. He nodded. We were close. Too close. I should have taken a step away. But for the first time all week, the tension in my shoulders and the back of my neck was gone. So I was going to stay where I was. Even if it meant Dax staring at me. Even if it meant smelling his familiar scent of laundry detergent and spice. Even if it meant feeling the heat from his body radiating against mine. I grabbed the sides of his shirt, surprising myself with the action. He didn't step away, and the rest of the tension in my shoulders drained down my spine. He snaked one arm around my waist and pulled me into a hug, smashing me against him. The move shocked me, and I gasped, but I didn't pull away. Friends hugged. We could hug. The tightness in his shoulders seemed to lessen as we stood there as well. I looked up at him. His face, only inches away, seemed just as calm as I now felt. He was moving toward me, smelling like sugar, when I blurted out, "But no kissing, just friends."
Friends?
No, friends are attachments, right? So, no. We're distractions. Distracted friends. He stopped, his look amused.
Okay.
Why couldn't I stop talking? And distracted friends don't kiss. Guys get attached when they kiss me. A full smile took over his face now.
No kissing then.
His voice was low and scratchy, and I wanted to immediately throw my rule out the window. The only rule I knew would protect me from the arrangement I had just made up. Rule number 4. He laughed a little.
Okay.
Just a distraction, I said, straightening up and backing away from him. I smiled. A really good one. He grabbed hold of my wrist, keeping me from moving farther away.
Just a distraction?
I nodded. We can make rule number 5, no attachments if you're worried. Dax smiled and pulled me close again. Mr. Peterson was true to his word and kicked me out right at 8:30 with a loud throat clearing as he walked down the hall. Then a quick knock and a
free time over.
I grabbed the empty bakery bag, crumpled it into a ball, and said, thanks. See you later. I didn't look back. I didn't want to know if Dax regretted our new arrangement. It didn't matter. He needed a friend right now, whether he wanted to admit it or not. And so did I. Someone to get my mind off everything when I was feeling stressed. But my real commitment, my focus, needed to be on Jeff and helping him recover. This would work out perfectly. Chapter 29. I got to school a little early the next day and waited in the parking lot for Dallin to arrive. He always parked in the same place, in the back row, facing out. I watched him as he backed into the spot. He reached over to the passenger seat, grabbed his backpack, and stepped out of the car. I did too. I had to make things right with Dallin. Not only had he been Jeff's friend forever, but in the last several months, I'd felt like we had become friends too. I didn't like him being mad at me. "Hey," I said, holding up my fist for a bump. He just stared at it, and I let my hand fall to my side. He did manage a high, though, as he continued to walk. I fell into step beside him. "Dallin, I didn't ask to see him. I'm sorry. His mom told me you were her top choice of visitors, but she was worried about the jokes you might play." There was nothing wrong with a little white lie in the face of hurt feelings, right?
"Nice," he said.
Not the reaction I was hoping for. "Are you upset that you haven't been able to see him, or are you upset that I have?"
"Both."
"Why?"
"Because I don't think you're right for him. Jeff thought otherwise, so he asked me to try with you. And I have. I've been trying. I've been trying even harder since he's been in there, hoping he could somehow sense it, or at least the universe would take notice. But I still don't feel like you're right for him. You've been messing with his head for months now."
"Messing with his head?"
"It's true. You don't care. You're constantly disappearing, running off, making Jeff chase you. I threw a party for you, and you disappeared. It's like you think you're too good for us."
My mouth dropped open in shock, no words coming to me at first. That's how my anxiety was perceived by my friends? They thought I was too good for them? No, I don't, at all. I have other issues, but I've never thought that. Never. I needed to swallow my pride and explain more, tell him about my anxiety disorder. But it's like he didn't hear me because he kept going.
"He's always looking for you, chasing after you, sneaking off with you, just like he did at the bonfire."
"I wasn't at the bonfire. I never showed up. You guys left me in the library."
"But if you didn't have a history of disappearing, he still would have left, like you all did. But after you were discovered at the library, and I found out you hadn't been at the bonfire, I realized he was chasing after you. And if he hadn't been, he wouldn't have been in such a big hurry. He would have been more careful."
My heart seemed to stop in my chest. "You think him being in the hospital is my fault?"
"I'm just saying."
I stopped walking, my eyes stinging. He pivoted slightly, gave me a shoulder shrug, and kept walking. I stood there in the middle of the parking lot, watching him go. It took me a couple of minutes to decide if I was going to stay at school, or get back in my car, drive home, and crawl into bed. At home, I would dwell on Dallin's words all day long. They would circle around and around in my brain. I needed to talk to Lisa, to Avi and Morgan, make sure Dallin was the only one who felt this way. But in the meantime, I needed a distraction. Someone who I didn't have to talk about this problem with. Someone who I knew for sure didn't feel this way about me. I found him by the buses with 10 minutes to spare before school started. "Dax," I called out to him. He nodded. "Hey, can we talk? Can I talk to you?" I asked, breathless. He looked at the students surrounding us. I looked around as well, for somewhere more private if that's what he needed. The greenhouse was the closest building, rarely used in the winter. Without another word, I headed there and hoped he'd follow. I also hoped it was unlocked. It was, and he did. I stepped inside. It was warmer, the air humid and smelling of soil. Rows of black planter boxes filled with mostly yellowing plants lined the tables. "Tell me something happy," I said, turning to face him.
"Did you mistake me for someone else?"
That sentence alone lightened my mood. I've had a crappy morning.
"But it's only 7:30.
"I know." He moved a planter box and sat down on the table.
"What happened?"
"Stupid stuff. I don't want to talk about it. I need to get my mind off it." He pointed at himself.
"With your distraction?"
"Exactly." He smiled and leaned back on his palms. When he was like this, unguarded and open, he was so cute. "Okay. Even when he was intense and closed off, he was cute.
What?
He asked. I realized I was smiling too. I want to take out my camera. My hand clutched the strap of my camera bag.
Why?
Because you are very photographable. Dak surrounded by dead plants, the sun shining muted through the fogged-up window behind him. He raised his eyebrows. It's true.
Not sure I should be flattered when I saw you taking a picture of a spider a few weeks ago.
How do you know what I was taking pictures of a few weeks ago?
I walked right by you. Your vision is limited behind that camera.
I hadn't seen him at all. My vision was limited behind the camera. Focused, uncluttered. That was one of the reasons I liked it. It wasn't a spider. It was its web. It was frozen. And amazing. I'll have to show you how those turned out one of these days. I stopped. Like any day. You should come over to my house. My parents would probably love it.
Your parents? They sent me a letter.
I laughed. I had forgotten about that letter. They did. You're their hero.
I thought I was yours.
I laughed again. Yes, you are.
You sound almost as sarcastic as I imagined you sounded when I read it.
I was mad at you when I wrote it. He seemed amused by this thought.
Why?
You didn't want to see me.
You like to assume.
My heart did a somersault, and I scolded it for that reaction. We'd established a rule. He didn't want an attachment, and neither did I. The bell rang, sounding through the campus. I looked up, but then back at him, not moving. So, anyway, you need to drive over to my house and... Wait, can you drive? I asked suddenly.
I drove my mom's car from the end of the street to the driveway when I was 13.
Wow, that's impressive.
I hit 2 mailboxes.
Or not. So that's why you didn't want to borrow my car. He smiled.
That is one of many reasons.
I'm going to teach you how to drive it. You would love the freedom it gives you. I felt bad that nobody in his life had ever taught him how to drive. And looking forward, I couldn't see that changing. It was a life skill he needed if he wanted to be as free as he claimed he did. He was still sitting, leaning back on his palms.
That does not sound like one of your better ideas.
It's an excellent idea. He brushed some dirt off his palms.
Don't you have to go?
Don't you have to go?
I could stay here all day, he said.
I could too, I countered. His smile took over his face.
Really?
Oh, you think you know me so well now, huh? You think being late to class would bother me?
Yes. You'd hate to make your teacher mad at you.
I narrowed my eyes at him, but then said, You're right. I have to go. I rushed toward the door. But when I was almost there, I circled back around and threw my arms around him. You did your job perfectly. Thank you. He chuckled and put his arms around me. Since he was up on the table, my head fit just below his chin. I closed my eyes and sighed. I went to pull away, but he held on. At first, I thought maybe he needed a longer hug, but when his body shook with silent laughter, I knew he was doing it to bug me. The late bell is going to ring, I said.
I know.
Let me go, brat! He did, and I ran out the door, throwing him a smile over my shoulder as I did. He still hadn't moved to leave, but a lazy smile was on his face. Just a distraction, I reminded myself as I ran to class. Chapter 30. I had tried to justify going home at lunch so I didn't have to face my friends, but that would only make Dallin's statement about me seem true. I clutched my brown lunch sack in my fist and stepped into the cafeteria. The wall of noise hit me first. Then the competing food smells. Today, it was mostly spaghetti and garlic. I kept my focus and headed for our table. Lisa smiled and slid down the bench to make room for me. It wasn't until I was seated and took in all the other smiling, talking faces that I realized Dallin wasn't there. A scan of the room didn't locate him either. Where's Dallin? I asked Lisa. Not sure. So he was the one running away now. I cleared my throat. I'm sorry that I was the only one who got to see Jeff last night, I said to the table. Avi patted my arm.
I'm not mad. You're the one who might actually make a difference. You like each other. I hear emotions can play a big part in healing.
The rest of the group chimed in with various versions of how they weren't mad at me either.
Autumn, the miracle worker, Lisa said quietly from beside me with a smile.
I wasn't sure if she was talking about healing Jeff, or smoothing things over with my friends. Either way, I still have some work to do. Lisa took out one of her Oreos and handed it to me. Then, as if she knew I was saying all this because of Dallin, she said,
Dallin is an idiot.
I smiled and took a bite, glad to know she was on my side. If there were sides. There weren't sides. I was going to fix this.
He's out of the ICU? I hugged Mrs. Mattson. I couldn't believe how happy I was to be on a different floor, with different chairs, and a different television in the corner.
Yes. She was beaming with excitement.
Did you text Dallin?
I had gotten the text after school and waited a full hour before I came, because I wanted him to be able to come first.
Yes, but I think he has baseball practice or something.
Oh, right. Crap. Were they already starting that? It seemed so early. Must have been preseason. So, is Jeff talking yet?
He's a lot more aware, but still sleeping most of the time. The doctors are slowly weaning him off his pain medication. They think that might be part of the reason he's not fully awake.
Come. He needs to see you. His room was smaller, but with fewer machines. And he had a window this time that overlooked the parking lot. I sat down next to him and took his hand.
Hey, Jeff.
We miss you.
I need you to get better. Maybe you can talk to Dallin and tell him I'm a decent human being. He seems to think otherwise right now.
That's a good reason to talk, yes?
For my benefit?
Another good reason to talk was so I stopped telling so many bad jokes. That would be for his benefit, of course. If he'd heard any of them, that is. He let out a small groan, and my heart jumped.
Jeff?
He rolled his head to the side, and his eyes fluttered open. His mom had said he'd been awake more, but I hadn't anticipated how much clearer his eyes would look. Like he could actually see me.
Joy rushed through me.
Hi, I said softly. A smile played on his lips. Your mom would be really happy if you talked.
Seeing your gorgeous green eyes is enough for most of us, but not for her, apparently.
He squeezed my hand, and then closed those eyes. I waited, hoping maybe he just needed to rest for a minute, but he didn't open them again. I was feeling pretty good about this report I'd be able to give to Mrs. Mattson, until I arrived at the waiting room, and saw Dallin was waiting to talk to her as well. She was having a discussion with the doctor.
You had to be first,
Dallin said under his breath to me when I joined him. I tried to wait. I didn't realize baseball practice had started. Mrs. Mattson came over to us.
So, the doctor still thinks it's important that he not have a lot of activity in his room for the next little while. I want all of you to be able to see him, but we're going to have to keep it to a minimum. One extra guest a day.
Dallin can still see him today, though, right? I asked in a panic.
Yes, of course. But can you work it out with your friends so that he doesn't get overwhelmed with visitors?
Yes, I said, then bit my lip. I mean, yes, Dallin can create a schedule.
Will you, Dallin? Mrs. Mattson asked.
Yes, he said shortly. I better go, I said. Mrs. Mattson didn't need my report. Nothing new had happened.
Have a good visit.
Dallin only nodded.
I had wanted to fix this.
But somehow, I'd made it even worse.
Chapter 31
Mr. Peterson must have told him who was waiting, because Dax came out to the porch prepared to leave. Shoes, jeans, and jacket on. He shut the door behind him and headed to my car with just a, hey. Hi, I said, catching up to him. When we were both in my car, I turned to him. Bad day?
Better now.
I gripped the wheel, not wanting to see the expression that went along with those words. We both still needed to be unattached. Seeing Jeff today had reaffirmed the fact that he was going to get better.
and everything was going to go back to how it was supposed to be. I wasn't sure where I was driving until I ended up in front of the library. Dax seemed surprised with my choice, too.
You have homework to do?
He asked. I have shoes to retrieve.
Still?
It hasn't been that long. I pulled into the underground lot. We walked toward the door together. The first hall we came to was empty. And that brought back the feelings of the first few hours in the library. But when we made it to the main hall, several other people were roaming about, which made things better. Different.
You good?
He asked. I nodded. We walked through the glass hallway and downstairs to the main library. I checked under the chair first, hoping I didn't have to ask anyone. They weren't there. I lingered as I remembered Dax reading in that chair. Remembered where we'd shared the sleeping bag right below it. I wondered if Dax was remembering the same thing. We caught each other's eyes. We should go see if there are any apples to steal in the kitchen, I whispered. He smiled. I took a deep breath and walked to the checkout desk. The lady behind it waited for me to speak. I left a pair of black boots here. Did they get turned in? Black boots. She searched beneath the counter and came back up with my boots, setting them on top.
So this is what an ankle wedge looks like,
Dax said quietly beside me. The lady gave me a hard look.
You must be the girl who was stuck here last weekend.
I wasn't prepared for her to call me out on it. I nodded.
Your mom has given us a list of new closing procedures.
How did I respond to that? Was she mad at me?
Probably a good thing,
Dax said, swiping my boots and leading us away. I couldn't believe my mom had done that. Okay, actually I could believe it. It was in her nature. But I was so embarrassed. Before we got up the stairs and to the glass hallway again, Dax said,
Who cares what she thinks? She's nobody. Don't worry about it.
I don't know if he thought I couldn't handle stairs at that moment or what, but he led me to the elevator and pushed the button. I don't care, I assured him. I really was fine. The light dinged and the doors opened. We climbed inside. Just as he was about to push the button for the bottom floor, I pushed the one for the top, and the door slid shut. He was still holding my boots, so I took them from him, clutching them to my chest. Have you ever seen the bell tower? I asked.
No, I haven't.
You should. Considering it only had to go up 2 floors, the elevator took forever. When the doors finally opened, we stepped out. I wondered if the door to the tower would still be unlocked, or if we'd have to turn around and go back down. I pushed on the bar, and it opened with a loud creak. It was dark this time, and I took out my phone and turned on the flashlight. The stairs up to the top didn't look or feel any more sturdy than they had the last time I climbed them. And now, with the two of us on them, I laughed nervously with each step. We made it to the top, and I opened the door. I took in a deep breath of cool air. The wooden owl on the railing looked at us as we both sat down in the small space that overlooked the peaked roofline. We were knee to knee. The space was so small. Cool, right? I turned off the flashlight on my phone, the streetlights outside enough to dimly light the area.
Yes. I'm surprised I haven't seen this before. Our stay wasn't my first stint in the library.
You don't say, I said, feigning surprise. He smiled, then looked up.
You rang this bell one night, didn't you?
Nobody heard it.
I did. I wasn't sure what it was.
It was me. Sitting there, I realized this tower was probably off-limits for guests. If we got caught, we'd get in trouble. Anyway, I wanted to show you. We should go.
Because you're worried? Or because you have somewhere you need to be?
The first.
You worry too much.
I know. It's kind of my thing. My arms rested across my knees, which were pulled up to my chest. He ran a slow finger across my forearm. I closed my eyes, letting all the tension of the day, of coming back to the library, pour out of me. I'm trying to manage things. It's been hard. It will get better when things are back to normal. There's just a lot of stuff going on right now. Dax reached up and held on to the railing behind him, seeming to consider this.
What happened this morning before school?
I sighed, not wanting to go there. Just the thought of what Dallin had said made me shudder. Nothing.
You're not going to tell me?
I held up a fist. I'll play you for it.
Play me for it?
Rock, paper, scissors. Winner gets a secret. I was willing to risk that for a chance at asking him a question. I had a couple I really wanted answered. He smiled.
Okay.
Best 2 out of 3, I asked.
Sure.
He won the first hand with a rock that crushed my scissors. I growled, then got ready again. The second hand I went with paper, and he did a rock again. Now it was a tie. I looked at him. He'd done 2 rocks in a row. Would he do it a third time? He gave me a calm stare, not giving anything away. Dax was unpredictable, so he'd go with something different. Although, more unpredictable would be if he did the same for a third time. 1, 2, 3, I said, and held out a paper. He was holding a rock again. Ha! I won!
You did,
he said, seeming impressed. Who knew you were so bad at this game?
Have you been practicing smack talk?
Only because you keep losing. I'm getting plenty of practice. He smirked and grabbed hold of the rail over his head again.
What's your question?
My eyes went to his left arm. His tattoo. Tattoo or Susanna? Tattoo or Susanna? Why haven't you sent that letter in your book to Susanna? I asked. His smile fell.
Because.
He put his hands through his hair.
Ugh, you're a horrible person, you know that?
He said it with a smile, so I just nodded. Yes, I am. He held his hand forward, palm up.
You see this?
My eyes went to his tattoo. Yes.
This was our very last court date. My mom had had months to change. Went through 3 different drug rehab programs, 6 court dates, 2 hospitalizations. And as we sat there in court, me on one side, her on the other, the judge asked her if she was choosing meth over her son. She was. It's the last time I ever spoke to her.
She lost her rights to you that day? He gave a short nod. I'm sorry, Dax.
I already told you. It was the day I finally let go. I'm free.
I didn't believe him any more today than I had the first time he'd said it. Everyone needs someone they can count on. And the letter?
Is everything I still need her to answer.
Susanna is your mother?
Yes.
So why can't you send it?
Because she'll think I'm trying to reconnect, and I'm not.
What are you trying to do?
Get basic information that kids with parents have about themselves.
Why do you care what she'll think, then?
I don't.
Then send it.
I will.
He looked up at me through his lashes.
And you just got way too much information for that win.
I had so many follow-up questions, but I let them go for now. Despite the fact that he looked completely calm, I understood how emotionally draining talking about things like that could be. I totally did.
Are you going to make me win my question now?
I fake sighed. I guess not, since technically you answered too. What was your question again?
This morning.
Oh, right. This morning. Spit it out, Autumn. He just told you what happened on the worst day of his life. You can tell him this. Dallin told me that I was the reason Jeff was in the hospital.
Who's Dallin?
He asked, his eyes hardening. Jeff's best friend.
And why would he think something so idiotic?
Because I'm always leaving, or finding a place to hide, or going into a corner at parties. And he said that Jeff always felt the need to go running after me. And he was doing that again when he crashed into the river. Running after me. Dallin basically hates me now.
Then you told him about your anxiety?
No. I didn't want to use it as a defense. To make it seem like I was making excuses. And I really don't want them to treat me differently.
That's a stupid argument.
Thanks.
You told me.
But my friends aren't you.
What does that mean?
You've seen things they haven't. I'm worried they won't understand.
Maybe you should trust them.
But I have no idea how they'll react. He nodded slowly. What?
You mean, you can't control how they'll react. You're worried they won't like you.
I picked a flaky piece of paint off the rail by my head.
Yeah. You need to tell them.
I will when you send your letter. He gave a short nod.
Well played.
The breeze coming in from the still open door picked up, and I shivered. My ears are cold, I said. One side of his mouth lifted into a half smile, but he didn't move. I used the rail to pull myself up to standing. Let's go. He stood as well, and as I turned on my flashlight and shifted to head down the stairs, he stepped in front of me. I took a surprised gasp. He put his hands over my ears. They were warm.
I don't mind being your distraction, but I won't always be here.
I know. And he was right. I needed to let my friends in and make sure I could work through things on my own before he really did disappear. I needed to make sure I no longer needed a distraction. Chapter 32. Between the hospital and library visit, I had been gone way longer than I told my parents I would be. I opened the front door, carrying my boots under my arm, and shut it as quietly as possible, hoping that if I just snuck into my room, they'd think I'd been here the whole time. But when I turned around, my brother was standing in the hall, leaning against the wall, staring at me. Owen, I squealed. What are you doing here?
Wednesday classes are canceled, and since I only have Monday, Wednesday, Friday classes, I thought I'd take Friday off and make a week of it.
It must be nice to be in college, playing by your own rules, being your own boss, I smirked at him.
Looks like someone else I know is her own boss, too. What's up with being gone all night?
I rolled my eyes. It's only 9, and I was just saving the world, one coma patient at a time. He scrunched up his face.
Sorry. Is he still not doing well?
Actually, Dax is doing much better.
Who's Dax?
Dax? Did I say Dax? Owen raised his eyebrows and nodded his head. I meant Jeff. He got out of the ICU today. The doctors say things are looking good, so hopefully things are only going to get better from here. I was rambling, so I stopped.
That's good about Jeff. Now, who's Dax?
My cheeks went hot.
Wow,
Owen said. No, it's nothing. He's a friend.
Ha, that's not what it looks like. I want to meet this friend.
I shoved his arm. Don't be such a brother. I started to escape down the hall when he stopped me with,
Why are you carrying shoes?
These got left in the library. I picked them up today.
First time back?
Yep.
And you handled it okay?
Why wouldn't I?
Oh, I don't know. Last time you were in the library, you fainted with a panic attack.
I handled it. With help. He gestured toward the kitchen.
Just a heads up. Mom was worried about your emotions and stuff, visiting the hospital so much.
And this was another reason I had a hard time telling my friends. I already had enough people worried about my emotions. Look at you! Home 15 minutes and already playing my spy. He looked at his watch.
I've actually been home for 2 hours. You haven't been.
Details, details. I finished my walk down the hall toward my room. He called after me.
You owe me some quality sibling time this week. No acting like I'm not here.
I'll pick out the nail polish color tomorrow.
Hey now, I pick out my own nail polish, he said.
I smiled and closed the door behind me, then sank to the floor. I felt a headache forming behind my eyes. I hoped I could go to sleep fast tonight, not play and replay the day in my head for hours like my brain sometimes liked to do. Dallin stood at the head of the lunch table the next day, like he was conducting a meeting. I had a lingering headache from the day before, and this looked like it was only going to make it worse. He pounded on the table with his fist to get our attention.
Jeff got out of the ICU yesterday, but his mom requested only one visitor a day. I'm sending you all a text right now with the schedule for the next 7 days. If you can't do the day I assigned you, try to find someone to switch with.
Serious Dallin was tripping me out. I wasn't used to him. My phone buzzed with his incoming text. I pulled up the schedule. Today, Connor. Wednesday, Avi. Thursday, Zach. Friday, Dallin. Saturday, Lisa. Sunday, Morgan.
Monday, Autumn. Repeat until the Jeff is free party that I will host when Jeff is free. Seriously? He was going to play this game? It was obvious he was still mad at me. The rest of the group was busy talking and switching days. I looked up at Dallin. He played innocent. Lisa leaned over to me. I'll switch with you. But you haven't seen him yet. It's okay. He'd rather see you. I don't know that he knows who he's seeing. It's fine. I could handle this if it would make Dallin feel better. Maybe he'll start doing better, and his mom will allow more visitors. I nodded. Hopefully. When the bell rang and everyone had cleaned up their stuff, Dallin lingered behind until we were the only two left.
It's only fair, Autumn, he said, since you've already seen him a lot.
I agree. Good job, I said. It was obvious he wanted me to get mad at him, but I was determined to mend our friendship. Just because I couldn't see Jeff didn't mean I wasn't going to get a report. I needed that for my mental health. So the next morning, I found Connor before first period. He was at his locker, shoving more papers into an already paper-filled mess. How was he?
What? Who?
Jeff. You saw him yesterday, right? How was Jeff?
Oh, hi, Autumn. Nice to see you this morning, too.
I smiled. Hi, Connor. How has your morning been so far?
It was good. I overslept.
I smacked his arm. Connor, come on. He laughed.
He was fine. Really tired, but he looked good. The doctor said he should be more and more alert every day.
That's good. So good. 6 more days until I could see him for myself. I could handle 6 more days. I held my camera up to my eye and twisted the outside ring back and forth, making Owen go from blurry to clear, over and over again.
You're not taking my picture, are you?
He asked from his spot on the couch next to me. Don't worry, diva. I know you like to do your hair first. He pointed the remote at the television and clicked it off.
Actually, not for your pictures. You have a way of capturing things that looks good every time.
I was caught off guard by the compliment. Thanks.
I'm serious. Is that what you're thinking for college? Photography?
No, not at all. It's too...
risky?
Yes.
And what's wrong with risk? What's wrong with going after the uncertain choice? The one you haven't planned to a T?
You know what's wrong with that. It would stress me out too much. I need security. He reached out for my camera, and I handed it to him. He put it up to his eye and took a picture, then looked at the result on the screen with a sour face.
All I'm saying is you have talent.
You're my favorite brother.
Always.
I collected my camera back from him.
I thought you'd be at the hospital today, he said.
I groaned, trying not to think about it. Today is Avi's day. Chapter 33. Jeff talked to you? I asked, still not believing it. Why wasn't Avi jumping up and down like I wanted to? Why hadn't she called us all last night? This is amazing news! Relief poured through me. Avi opened her bag of chips, then shrugged.
Has he not done that before?
The four of us, Lisa, Morgan, Avi, and I, were sitting together in the cafeteria. The boys were at some baseball lunch meeting. I had stopped eating the moment she shared the news. What did he say?
Not much. Just hi, and asked how long he'd been there.
I tried to control the tiny bit of jealousy that Jeff had talked to Avi first, that I had missed it, and focus on the huge amount of joy that he had talked at all. Did you tell his mom?
Was I supposed to?
No, it's fine. I'm sure she knows. Whose turn is it today? Instead of waiting for an answer, I pulled out my phone and referred to Dallin's text. Zach's, Morgan said, at the same time I read it. You think Zach will switch with me? I asked.
Probably not, Avi said.
I groaned. Why had I turned over the scheduling power to Dallin in the hospital? I was trying to be nice, but it hadn't made a difference. Lisa squeezed my arm. Do you want me to talk to Dallin?
All my friends thought Dallin was being unreasonable, too. No, because if I were being honest, there was still a bit of fear in me that Jeff really didn't care about seeing me. We weren't together. We never had been. What made me think I was so special? I had passed Dax in the hall after lunch and slipped him a note. A note that had told him to meet me between 6th and 7th period, where I now stood, behind the cafeteria. I hadn't anticipated the dumpsters and the stench they'd be emitting. Dax rounded the corner, his stride slow and confident. He looked at the trash when he got to me and raised his eyebrows. I was hoping you could help me find my retainer. I think it got thrown away. The pleasant look dropped off his face.
Really?
I laughed. No. He smiled. I grabbed onto the lapels of his jacket and pulled him a little closer to me.
Hi,
he said in a low voice. Hi, I sighed.
Do you even wear a retainer?
He asked. I flashed a wider smile. Only at night. What about you? Did you ever have braces?
That wasn't exactly top priority for any of my foster parents.
Well, then you got lucky, because you have very pretty teeth. He shrugged.
You haven't looked close enough, then.
I tilted my head, and he gave me a fake smile that made me laugh. His front two teeth overlapped a little, and his bottom ones were a bit more crooked. But they weren't distracting at all. I was right. Very pretty. He took a fistful of either side of my sweater at my waist and said,
You're not a very good liar.
His hold made me feel light on my feet, like I wasn't quite touching the ground. I braced myself with my palms against his chest. Then you must not be good at reading me anymore, because I'm not lying. I, on the other hand, am excellent at reading you. Just like in that game of rock, paper, scissors we played. Read you like a book. He laughed.
I'll work on my poker face.
You should come over today after school.
To your house?
Yes, my brother is in town. I think you'd like him.
I don't like anyone, remember?
I took another small step forward. I don't think that's true.
I do like distractions,
he said. Me too. It was obvious he didn't want to meet my brother. Probably thought that meant commitment or something. Okay, fine. There's a park by my house. You have my address? It was on that letter my parents sent you. He nodded. Meet me at the park. 4 o'clock.
I will try.
Try hard. He smiled, and I could read his face. It said he wasn't coming. I pretended not to notice. I wasn't going to give him an easy way out. If he didn't want to come, he'd have to not come knowing I was sitting in the cold, waiting for him. Dax and I headed back around the cafeteria and through the main doors together. I said bye, and he gave me a head nod as we split to go separate ways. That's when I saw Lisa leaning against a locker, staring at me. I smiled. She dragged me by the arm into the closest bathroom and said, Spill. Now. Spill what? You know what. I saw you pass him a note after lunch. How do you know him? I checked under each stall to make sure they were empty. He was in the library with me. There was no use in keeping it a secret anymore. Dax? Yes. Dax Miller. Yes, I said with more emphasis. Her brow wrinkled in confusion. He was in the library with you? All weekend? As in trapped? As in you weren't alone? We were trapped together. No way. Yes way. Why didn't you tell me? I'm sorry. He swore me to secrecy. Long story. Not one for the bathroom. You'll tell me all the details later? Yes. Was he... She searched for a word to finish that sentence. He was nice. Fun. Fun? Okay, not like Jeff fun. He was a little cold at first, standoffish. But once we'd been there for a while, he was... fun. That's so crazy. You know Dax Miller now. Nobody knows Dax Miller. She paced in front of the sinks. You know Dax Miller. She stopped with a gasp. Wait, do you know Dax Miller? Have you guys, like, no? She smiled. Huh?
He'd be a good kisser, don't you think? Those lips, those eyes.
I shoved her arm.
Stop.
I could not think about kissing him. I'd already banned myself from doing that. She studied my face, and I knew my cheeks were red.
You like him, she whispered.
No, I don't. He doesn't like anyone, and he's not boyfriend material. At all. She didn't seem to believe me because she said,
Autumn, what about Jeff? He needs you right now. He's still recovering. Then he's going to have physical therapy and have to get back into life. And negative emotions might have a bad effect on him.
My jaw tightened. I know. I'm not going anywhere. There's nothing between me and X.
Then why are you hanging out with him?
He's just a distraction.
Television is a distraction. Dax is a hostile takeover.
He hasn't taken over anything. Nothing at all. He wanted to be gone as soon as possible. No attachments. And I had just needed something to keep my mind occupied. Things would be back to normal soon. Chapter 34. I got a text during seventh period from Mrs. Mattson.
Jeff asked about you. Can you come after school today?
Jeff asked about me. Jeff was awake enough to talk, and he asked about me. This was great news. Really great news, I told myself again. I texted her back. Yes, of course. It was all my brain could think about the rest of school. I went immediately to the hospital after school for two reasons. One, so my parents, who were concerned about my emotional state, thank you for the heads up, Owen, wouldn't tell me I couldn't go. And two, so that I wouldn't interfere with Zach's time. He wouldn't head over until after baseball practice. By the time I got to Salt Lake, the anticipation of seeing Jeff, of talking to Jeff, had me so jittery that my hands were shaking. At first, I sat in the car, trying to calm my nerves, but realized that it was only making me more anxious. I rushed through the parking lot and straight to the waiting room. Mrs. Mattson's smile was brighter than ever.
Autumn, we've missed you. You haven't been visiting.
We've been on the one visitor a day schedule, like he said.
That was meant for his friends. Your family, remember?
She gave me a wink. Oh, right. Dallin would die if he'd heard that.
Come on, Jeff's waiting for you.
She tucked my arm in hers and led me to him. When we walked in, he was asleep. My heart sank, but his mom left me at the foot of his bed and went to his side. She patted his arm.
Honey, you have a visitor.
He groaned and his eyes fluttered open.
Mom?
It was so good to hear his voice again after 2 weeks.
Yes.
Hi.
Can I get some pain meds?
I know you're sore, but not yet.
No respect, he said,
and a small smile flitted across his lips. I smiled too. It was the first sign I'd seen of Jeff being Jeff, and that made me know everything was going to be okay.
In a couple of hours. You're doing good, down to twice a day.
He nodded.
Autumn is here.
Hi, I said, and his eyes were immediately on me.
Mom, that's the kind of thing you lead with, he said. Now she thinks I'm an addict.
She doesn't think you're an addict.
No, I do, I said. He tried to laugh, but it came out as a cough.
Come and sit, he said,
pointing to the chair. Are you sure? You seem tired.
I'm bored. And since I can't have pain meds...
His mom squeezed my arm on her way toward the door.
Not too long. He really does need his rest, she said in a low voice.
I didn't lose my hearing, Mom, he said.
Mrs. Mattson sighed and shook her head. But there was so much joy in her eyes. I lowered myself to the chair by his bed. How are you?
Pretty good. Did you see my cool new scar?
My eyes went to his forehead and the pink line there. That would forever remind him of this accident. I did. I spent several days checking it out.
I heard you've been here. Thank you.
Of course. He may have thought he could handle a long conversation,
but his speech was thick and eyes were already becoming lidded. You need to sleep.
No, I'm fine. Tell me everything I missed in the last couple weeks.
Not much. A basketball game. A party. Dallin accusing me of putting you in the hospital.
Sounds fun.
His blinks were becoming slower. Longer. You're going to fall asleep on me.
I am,
he said.
I'm sorry.
Please don't be. I'll come back.
Come tomorrow?
Tomorrow is Dallin's day. The only day I didn't want to risk showing my face here. He reached for my hand, and I provided it for him.
Come tomorrow?
He said like he hadn't heard me. Okay.
Promise?
I promise. He nodded, but his eyes were already closed. I left the hospital room with a smile. Jeff was awake. My life was now back on my previously planned course. Chapter 35. I was stuck in traffic outside of Salt Lake. It was only 3:45. I thought I'd miss after-work traffic, but it was going to turn my 45-minute drive into an hour for sure. I rubbed my neck. That's when I remembered Dax and the meeting I'd set up with him. 4 o'clock at the park by my house. I'd totally forgotten with the news about Jeff wanting to talk to me. Why didn't Dax have a working phone I could call? I was a horrible person. No, it would be fine. Dax wouldn't be there. I'd seen that in his eyes earlier. He wasn't going to come. How would he get there anyway, even if he had wanted to? He had no car and didn't know how to drive. My dashboard clock said 5:30 by the time I made it to my neighborhood. It turned out the traffic wasn't work-related at all. There'd been a big accident. I called my parents and let them know where I was, and that I'd be later than I thought. I slowed down as I drove by the park, just to make sure. At first, I thought I was right, and relaxed back into my seat. But then I saw a lone figure in a dark coat sitting on a bench by the swings. I gasped and pulled against the curb, shutting off my engine. He came? The park was empty as I walked toward him. Too late for the kids who normally occupied it. Dax was reading, lit by the glow of the street lamp, and an image of him in the library came back to me so strongly that I had to stop for a moment. I shook it off. I'm so sorry, I said. He looked up, his dark eyes meeting mine. He didn't seem upset.
Hey.
How did you get here?
Like, how did I come to exist, or...
Funny. I sat down next to him on the bench, and he closed his book, still Hamlet, and set it beside him. Did someone bring you?
I took the bus.
You took the bus for me?
I take the bus for everything, so don't analyze it too much.
Too late. I've already analyzed it.
What have you figured out?
That I promised to teach you how to drive. I should have made it a rule.
You and your rules.
We met eyes then, seeming to both remember the rules I'd made before. No attachments. No kissing. We were still good on both fronts. His gaze hadn't left mine. Weren't we?
How was Jeff?
I blinked, looking away from his intense stare. What?
That's where you were, right? At the hospital?
I nodded. Jeff's mom texted me last second, and I had to go. He was asking for me. Dax's shoulders went tense, but he said,
"That's good."
I tried to figure out why Dax might not like that news. Why was he saying the opposite of what he was feeling? He's still in pain, I guess, and will probably have to do physical therapy. So it will be a while before he goes home.
Are you spelling out how much longer you need me around?
No. We're friends, right? You can... He gave a breathy laugh, stopping me short.
It was a joke.
Oh, right. I leaned back against the bench. But anyway, I was going to stay away from the hospital tomorrow, because it's Dallin's day.
Dallin. The guy who blamed Jeff's accident on you.
Right. I wanted to give him his time, but Jeff asked me to come. Made me promise. So I feel like I have to. He leaned forward, put his elbows on his knees, and seemed to think. After a minute, he said,
So you're trying to deal with anxiety by acting like you don't have it.
What?
You know the hospital will stress you out tomorrow, especially with Dallin there.
Yes.
But instead of staying home for your